And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, things have started. Biden doesn't seem to be doing anything. Trump is acting as if he's already the president. We now know that he's so far appointed 33 billionaires to the cabinet or to the top posts to run the government one way or another, not to mention the people he's appointing to be his consultants. We know that the people he's appointed to the key posts have all helped write Project 2025, despite the fact that during the campaign, Trump said he didn't know what it was, never read it, didn't know anything about it. But those people know all about it. They edited it and they wrote it. So we know it's coming down the pike. There's no questions here. Right. How are we going to respond? How is the Democrats going to respond? How are progressive people going to respond? How are anti-fascists going to respond? How are anti-racists going to respond? People who have a concern for the people of the United States. And what can we expect from the Democrats?
Well, right now, I don't think there's much we could expect from the Democrats. They're too busy being befuddled and trying to lay blame. They're still in the same mold of trying to say we should have gone farther to the left on one side, and the other side saying we should have gone farther to the center on the other. I think the first step is they need to elect the DNC chairman. That's the on the national scene, and they better have somebody who can really knock heads.
Yeah, what if they elect Rahm Emanuel? He'll knock heads.
Oh God! Yeah, back to the 90s.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right now, the most intriguing name seems to be that guy from Wisconsin. But who knows who's going to win that race? Here in Pennsylvania, there's a problem, and locally here in northeastern Pennsylvania, there's a problem.
Do you hear anything about the state party? Do you know anything about Sheriff and whether he's going to hang in there, or what the discussion at the state level is?
No.
No, there you go. And you're active with these.
Yeah, you heard, you didn't hear anything from Sharif Street during the election.
He said he was doing a great job. I heard him.
Well, what have you, but the Democrats basically got swept in terms of the state offices. It wasn't that many years ago. We had two United States senators, the governor, and all three of the main row offices, the Auditor General, the Treasurer, and the Attorney General. Now, none of the row offices are in Democratic hands. Only one senator is a Democrat. And we still have the governorship. He's already, the Republicans are already looking to challenge him.
And the Democratic senator is fighting with him.
Yeah, the two of them aren't really that much on the same page. They thought that Shapiro would have 2028 presidential aspirations, but he has to get elected first. And now Fetterman is making noises that he might try to run. I mean, he's
for president. For president.
Yeah, he said he's joined Truth Social. He's also said that Biden should pardon Trump, and so we'll just have to see how that plays out. I mean, if he's going to run for president, he's going to give up the senator's shot, and I can't think of any statewide names that would be running in 4 years or 2 years, 4 years or 6 years that for any of these statewide offices, other than, like I said, Shapiro and and Fetterman.
And meanwhile, people who have analyzed the Pennsylvania vote see that basically two things happened. One thing was the margins in the rural area, the margin of defeat grew. The strategy of the Democrats was supposed to be that they would be defeated by a smaller margin. They would
pick, right?
But instead it went the other way. The margin of defeat grew. And the vote in Philadelphia dropped, and the vote in the collar counties around Philadelphia dropped more precipitously.
Right.
They still emerged victorious in those counties, but they lost 100,000 votes in the collar counties, and they came in 200,000 votes shy in Philadelphia of what they need. They need an 80% majority in Philadelphia to carry the state, to make up for the margin in the rural counties that the Republicans get. They didn't get 80%. Biden did. He got 81%. But Harris, I think, was down in the 60s, 68, 67%. And now, you know, in many places, say, well, that's wonderful, 67% majority. Not enough. 80 is what you need. So claim to leadership by the existing Democratic Party state leaders was that they ran the party in Philadelphia and they were able to turn out the vote. They failed miserably. Forget the fact that the margins in the rural areas fell, where they paid no attention to the rural areas. But in their stronghold, they didn't do what they did for Biden. They didn't do it for Harris.
No, and don't forget, there was one of their own, Malcolm Cunyata, was running for state office.
And went down badly.
Yes, yeah.
And he's a good guy. He'd have made a very fine elected official.
Yeah. they've got a lot of work to do. And Lackawanna County, we've got a lot of work to do.
But they can't do it. You can't tell me that the Philadelphia machine can regenerate itself. They need to get swept out. They need new blood. And the state party the same way.
Well, one of the arguments is that they lost the machine when John Doherty got prosecuted and convicted. He was the union head, and he was the guy that really ran things and made people toe the line in all of this. So the Biden Justice Department may have undone the part of the Philadelphia machine. You need a strong leader down there. And it just didn't exist. But
leader in your county.
Or in Luzerne County, really.
Luzerne is even worse. You're right.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, my wife and I went to the holiday party of the Abington Democrats, and it was not a huge turnout, but people were really motivated, let me put it that way, angry, upset, and really, because the Abington Democrats are those that around Clark Summit area and the towns and the boroughs around there have over the last several cycles been doing a very strong job of getting people registered, getting the vote out. And they realize they're getting no help from the county machine. Whether they can scale that to some extent to the whole county remains to be seen. I keep hearing things that the county commissioners want to get rid of the county chair. But there's been no action on it at this point for a couple of reasons. But I think now that the election's behind and they've passed this budget, which is going to tag them with a huge tax increase, 33%, they better get on the stick if they're going to do anything.
The Lackawanna commissioners have raised taxes 33%?
Yeah, because
they're Democrats.
Yeah. And they found that they had a structural deficit that's been covered by borrowing over the last number of regimes or commissioners. Some of them were Republican and some of them were Democrat, but they were out of options. They really had to bite the bullet. Nobody wants to do that. Of course, if you're going to do it, you do it in your first year in office, when you have several years before you have to be reelected. But it's going to.
But they didn't do that.
No, they're going to. This is their second year. But they're going to get tagged with this.
But they've got a good answer. They can pin it on the Republicans, pin it on the federal government, pin it on the austerity plans of the Trump administration.
Well,
they've got to fight.
And you got to. Yeah. The thing is, what kind of communication strategy do they have? There's no real newspaper now in town to consolidate things or where you can get your voice out. The Scranton Times Tribune is a shell of its former self.
It doesn't have a real operation in Scranton, right?
A very little operation. I know the reporters have been told work out of your homes, essentially. It's hard to find articles, and they're not even timely articles. Sometimes they trail by several days what's really happened.
Printed out of Harrisburg, right?
It's printed in Harrisburg, right? They consolidated four newspapers, one from Hazleton, one from Scranton, one from Wilkes-Barre, and one from Pottsville, I believe. And so you just don't, the news is spread out, and it's, talking to some of the people in the administration, the county administration, they know there's nobody really watching them because the Times doesn't have enough reporters to cover things. They get, all the different commissions that meet and all the different things. They get to the commissioners' meetings, but what else do they get to?
That may be a problem for the newspapers, but the problem lies with the political leadership who have got to find a way to get their message to people.
Right.
You can't say, the newspapers fell apart. There's nothing we can do about it. You got to do something about it.
You got to get into the social media. There's no real alternative. Now, there's a couple of different things going on in the media. One is, and because I'll send you articles from this organization called Spotlight, which is an amalgam of a lot of the news services in the various parts of Pennsylvania. And they do some pretty good reporting, but they're not something that's widely read. We have WVIA, which is trying to put a news organization together. But again, their audience is more limited, and it skews in a certain way that the people who, are really need to hear this, the working class, don't really follow that. And who knows what's going to happen to it's the public station when the Trump administration destroys PBS.
Well, they've already announced that they're going to cut the appropriation 100%.
Right. So what else? I mean, is the station even going to be able to survive? Are all the public stations going to just go down the tubes? I don't know.
But I tell you, who else doesn't know and doesn't think about it? And that is the Democratic Party leadership.
Yeah.
I can't think of a single rural county that has a newspaper that covers the county. There's 42 counties. There's not one where there's adequate coverage of what is the local news. And in not one of those counties does any of the local parties discuss how do we reach the people who live here.
Right. But the lack of coverage is what allows, in part, allows them to be Republican counties.
That's right.
Because you don't find out what, how the
you don't know what the problems are, and you don't know who's taking what position, and you don't know what could be done and what is being done against you. Bad guys hide effectively when there's no publicity.
Yeah. yeah. What was the Washington Post's motto? Democracy dies in darkness.
Yeah, right. But meanwhile,
there's no.
He's giving a. Bezos is giving plenty of money to Trump.
Well, yeah. Trump's like the like his mentor taught him, like the mafia, you know.
Yeah.
Pay me, or else, you know. Nice business you have there.
Right, exactly. Wouldn't you like to keep it? Right.
You like to keep it.
Meanwhile, Bezos, his Amazon, is the largest employer in the United States, right? He has more employees than any other company in America.
More than Walmart?
More than Walmart. And on Monday, Bernie Sanders is going to issue the result of several years long investigation into working conditions in the Amazon warehouses. And it is just horrible. Horrible.
We've been hearing that for a long time. There's no air conditioning in the summer.
Yeah, 140 degrees is the norm.
Yeah, they have, you have to have output that's almost impossible to maintain. How much you have to do within a short period of time.
And one of the people who Trump is considering to be the head of OSHA, which would be responsible for policing stuff like that, is the former corporate executive for Amazon responsible for legal affairs to make sure that no complaint about working conditions could get could get any traction. That's right. This woman, she may not get the appointment, but she may get the appointment. She's one of the ones who's being considered. And she has written that 140 degrees in the warehouse in the summer is a normal event. Nothing to be concerned about. She would be the head of OSHA. So,
you know, there's something that happened a couple of weeks ago that relates to this, and that was the assassination of the CEO of United Health.
Right.
And what really has taken place is the public's reaction to that. And the alleged, we'll use that word, murderer, has become a folk hero. And the CEO has become the bad guy, the murder victim. But it relates to how people are so fed up with healthcare and the same mentality, the corporatist mentality, that says all we care about is profits, bottom line, quarter to quarter, and making sure that A, the stockholders, and B, actually, I think B, the stockholders, A,
right,
the corporate executives, you know, get to rake off the money off the top.
Right.
And the public sees that. But the question is, can the Democrats bottle up that anger?
Well, they can't bottle it up. They can't make use of it unless they attack these companies. And their practices, which they don't seem to want to do.
Yeah.
I mean, Bernie does it and people swoon. Wonderful. Fantastic. Lovely. But who else is doing it?
Nope.
That's right.
Nobody.
Kamala Harris certainly didn't do it.
No. And I've been trying to put together for the trial lawyers a compendium to come out every year of, you know, bad corporate conduct, you know, sort of a top 10, you know,
the bottom 10.
The bottom 10, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, the American Tort Reform Association every year comes out with what they call a judicial hellhole list. Mm-hmm. It's a phony thing. There are no such thing as hellholes. But it's all the places where people are able to get justice mm-hmm. and be able to win lawsuits against these companies. Mm-hmm. And in recent years, what we would have seen, particularly since the pandemic, is huge verdicts coming out of juries because when they see what these companies have done and how callous they have been, the size of these verdicts are, you know, even beyond what the cases would have settled for, sometimes by a magnitude of 5 or 10 times.
Really?
The people are, you know, the jurors are seeing this, but of course, the corporate people don't want people to have jury trials.
Right.
On there. And I want to put on a list, like you said, the bottom 10. I'm trying to get a good name for it. I don't know, the baddies or something like that.
How about the top 10 bottom feeders?
That's an idea. Yeah. That's an idea of when you read about these things that occur. There is, you know, things are right if people know how to do it, but they don't. And a large part of that, you've heard this from me before, and you've said it yourself, is the lack of, you know, communications and a lack of the outlets for communications. We had Elon Musk bought Twitter, and he turned it into a huge megaphone for Donald Trump for misinformation, disinformation, and whatever you want to call it.
Lies. I call it lies.
Yeah. Sinclair Broadcasting has all these stations. Truth Social is out there for Trump. There is a new more left-centered social media, Blue Sky, that people are joining, but we'll have to see, you know, how much traction that gets.
Years and years ago, a group of people around the around the Clinton group, tried to start something called Air America.
Air America, yeah.
We talked about that. Yeah, they were going to make it into a talk network with left of center talkers, and that's where Al Franken got his start, not as a comedian, yeah, but as a politician.
Tom Hartman was on that.
Tom Hartman was on that, and a number of others.
Rachel.
But it folded.
Right.
They didn't put enough money into it, and what money they did put into it got stolen by a bunch of scam artists who basically stole the money. And people got disgusted, and that was the end of it. Why can't something like that happen? It's not that hard to do. If you can raise $1 billion in 6 weeks, you should be able to put together a nationwide network on radio, on social media, on wherever it is useful to have it. And you know where it's useful to have it. You've studied it. You know it. You've got the numbers up the wazoo. You know just where you should be. And if you put the money together, you can get the people that you need to get, that people will want to listen to. Why isn't that happening? That's something that the National Democrats could do. No state party could do that. But the kind of people who can put together a billion and some odd hundreds of millions in 6 weeks, they can do it.
You know, we should mention there is something that's happening that could, it won't establish that network, but there could be a crack. You know, we're talking about all these other communications. We failed to mention Fox, which has been the center of this right wing billionaire dominance that we get. It's been the I'm trying to think of the right word, collecting point for where people want to go for their news on that side of the political spectrum. But this last week, something happened. Rupert Murdoch, an immigrant, right, to the United States, had set up a trust for when he passes away.
And he's 93.
And he's in his 90s. But it was basically he was going to share the power equally among his four children. Lo and behold, he tried to change that trust to give power to only, or dominant power to one most conservative son, Lackland. And the judge
who runs it right now, not the trust, but the networks.
Right. And lo and behold, the judge ruled you can't get away with this, that it's got to go the way the trust was originally done. And the other three children, a couple of them are kind of not really interested, but James, if I'm correct in my recollection, is much more interested in changing the image of Fox to away from what Lachlan has followed his father's footsteps in. So, you know, you always hate to have to rely on your opponent's mistakes. You know, we'll have to see how that plays out.
Right. It might play out so that the three other siblings have control, but you don't know if they'll change anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're quite happy to bank the money that they're getting.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we're living, you know, we're going to be living through a whole series of controversies. And I have to tell you, I think one of the problems is, and it's we discussed this in my in the office, that I used to share space with a lawyer, and his theory was that when you sue somebody, the more that they've done wrong, the harder it is for the jury to understand the issues. And that's been what I think the key to success of Trump and the Trumpian agenda has been, is they throw so much out there that you just don't, you can't concentrate on one thing, that it's all bad. And so everything kind of just gets fogged over. I mean, we're looking at now where the Trump people are talking about a whole host of things, doing away with the polio vaccine, doing away, you know, having
doing
raw
away
milk.
With the VA, the Veterans Administration.
Yeah, doing away with the VA. Raw milk, you know, being allowed instead of pasteurized milk. The privatizing the post office. Doing away with daylight savings time. A whole host of craziness. And doing away with the FDIC. Doing away with the SEC. All of these things that protect people. Now, some of these organizations haven't done as good a job as maybe they can, but you know, taking away this is just going to be,
it's just going to be, what Russia. These corporate executives want.
This is going to be like Putin's Russia, and we see what happened to the Russian army because it got hollowed out because Putin and his pals stole all the money.
Yeah. Yeah,
It's going to be the kleptocrats. Yep. We've got the plutocrats, the oligarchs, and the kleptocrats.
And that's what we're going to have. That's right.
And we're still going to have a kekistocracy. So, but you can't even I can't even concentrate on one of these things. They're all happening at the same time.
That's right. And they've been working for years to have this happen.
And they're no longer hiding it.
No. And I'll tell you, that's part of the strategy. Hit him with everything all at once.
Right. The fire hose effect.
That's right. Well, it's but the them that they're planning on hitting is you and me. and everybody else out there listening. They're just every the people, normal human being.
And the people they got to vote for them are going to be the most effective.
Yeah. Well, we have to continue talking about fighting back. Because that's what's required now. You can't depend on the courts.
Right.
Don't think that strategy is going to work. It hasn't worked, and it's not going to work.
We have to fight, fight, fight.
Fight, fight, fight. And let's talk about the details of that every time we get together. Because,
well, to quote Donald Trump, fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore.
Completely correct. See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.